October the 18th, 1686. As Friday and I waited for his father and the Spaniard to return, an unexpected incident occurred. Friday came running up from the beach, shouting, "They are come! They are come!" Amazed, I ran towards the shore, so eager that I didn't take any weapons, as I normally would have done. The boat was visible about a league and a half away, heading for the shore. Immediately I knew this couldn't be the Spaniard and Friday's father. We had some very different visitors, who might prove hostile. Running back to the camp, I grabbed my perspective glass and headed for the hill. From there I could clearly see a ship lying at anchor about 2.5 leagues out to sea. An English ship, and the craft heading towards the beach was an English longboat. Immediately my heart began to pound. I felt both joy and confusion, for why should an English ship be in this part of the world? What business could she possibly have in this wilderness? When the boat landed, I could see there were 11 men in all. Then I saw, with a chill of fear, that 3 of the men were unarmed and tightly bound. Friday immediately asked if the newcomers were going to eat their prisoners. "No," I whispered, "but they may murder them. I think we are watching the results of a mutiny." 2 of the men appeared to be drunk. They stayed with the boat and soon fell asleep. The 3 prisoners waited on the sand while the rest of their captors began to explore the beach. They did not appear to notice that the tide was going out, stranding the heavy longboat in soft sand. After a while, the men wandered up towards the trees where they sat drinking rum for a while, and then, at last, lay down and slept. Whatever the dangers, I knew I had to contact the prisoners. Taking my weapons and leaving Friday to cover my every move, I crept up to them and asked where they had come from. They seemed amazed. "Are you a man or an angel coming to rescue us?" one asked. I looked down at my rough goatskin clothes. "An angel would have come better dressed," I told them ruefully. While the mutineers slept their drunken sleep, one of the men told me the story of their plight. He said he was the captain of the ship, whose men had mutinied against him. He, his first mate, and a passenger were to be castaways on this desolate shore. "Are the mutineers armed?" I asked. He replied they only had 2 guns, one of which they had left in the boat. He added, "They are led by a pair of villains, but some of the men have simply been led astray." As we spoke, I suddenly had an idea. I told the captain that Friday and I would rescue him on 2 conditions. The first was that he had to obey me at all times. The second was that if we managed to recover his ship from the mutineers, the captain would take me back to England on a free passage. The captain agreed at once. I was overjoyed, hardly able to believe in my good fortune. This was a much better chance of escape than building a ship with the Spaniards and risking being attacked by the cannibals. So we set to work on the plan that was already forming in my mind. I gave the captain, his mate, and their passenger 3 muskets with powder and ball. When the mutineers woke, they found themselves prisoners at gunpoint. Little wonder they surrendered, swearing to obey the captain and help take the ship from the remaining mutineers. The captain felt that 2 of the men could be trusted. The others I sent under guard to my cave, warning them that if they tried to escape, they would be shot. But our task was not over yet. There were still 26 men on board who wouldn't give up so easily, particularly as they risked being hanged on their return to England. Friday and the mate ran to the longboat to remove her oars and knock a hole in the bottom. Then we settled down to wait. Hours passed. At last, the ship, still at anchor, began to fire her guns, presumably as a signal for the landing party to return. Eventually, when none of the signalling and firing bore any result, another longboat was lowered and began to head for the shore. Soon we had a full view of the next group of mutineers. There were 10 men on the boat. The captain recognized them at once. "Three are honest fellows," he whispered to me. "I'm sure they have been forced into mutiny. But the bosun is a hardened villain, and so are his companions." We watched as the mutineers who had just arrived in the second longboat discovered that the bottom had been knocked out of the first. Uneasy about what had happened, they began to run along the shore, shouting out their shipmates' names. The mutineers then stood close together and fired off a small arms volley which made the woods ring. The birds and wild animals screamed just as they had done on the first day of my landing so many years ago. There was no reply to their signal. Unnerved by the silence and then the screaming, the mutineers became fearful and rowed back to the ship as fast as they could. We were all horrified at this unexpected turn of events. If the mutineers gave up their companions for lost and sailed the ship away, we would all be stranded. Suddenly the longboat swung round and was rowed back to the island again. This time, 7 men came ashore and began to search. The remaining 3 crew rowed the boat offshore, put down the anchor and waited. How could we capture the 7 men on the shore without alarming the 3 on the boat? Just then I had an idea. I asked Friday and the ship's mate to walk over to the creek without being seen, stand on rising ground, and shout, "Hello," as loudly as they could. When they heard the cries, the 7 mutineers ran along the shore towards the shouting, until they came to the creek. It was high tide, and they were unable to cross it, so they then called for the longboat to be brought up, just as I had hoped. Soon the longboat reached the harbour that Friday had dug, and the mutineers got out. They left 2 men on guard and ran up the shore with their companions, following the shouting voices. Again, they had played into my hands. Once the crew were out of sight, we ran for the longboat, overcame the guards, and hid the prisoners in the trees. Meanwhile, Friday and the mate were acting as decoys, drawing the men from one hill to another with their cries. They kept this going until the mutineers were exhausted. Then they made their way back to us. When the mutineers had returned, night had fallen. The tide had gone out again, and the longboat was fast aground. Immediately they flew into a panic. They were sure they had arrived on an enchanted island, where they had been tormented by spirits and devils. Their panic gave us our chance. We ambushed them in the dark, and in the battle which followed, their leader, the bosun, was shot dead. The rest of the mutineers scattered. I asked one of the prisoners to shout into the night, and to advise surrender. "Who must we surrender to?" shouted back one of the mutineers, a man named Tom Smith. No doubt he was still thinking that he was up against the enchantment of the island. "Your captain," came the reply. "He has 50 men who have been hunting you these last 2 hours. The bosun is killed, and I am a prisoner. If you do not yield, we are all lost."